Accession number 18496, Reel 4.
It will be Reel 4.
Say, on Three Angels, we weren't allowed to fly out, although it could have been done. So we were there, as I say, from the April, and we eventually came out in the July, and in the interim, actually changed two engines. To describe all the things that went on while we were there and how we did it would take an awful long time, but we did succeed. And it was quite an interesting time, really, because we were restricted to... all our rations came from the Indian Army Service Corps, and we got 6 days' rations for seven, and rather restricted ones too. In fact, had we not been listed as having more staff than we actually had, we should have been rather put straits. And we had no money, apart from just a little bit of change we had in our pockets, and we needed some. We got a ration of booze monthly, and we'd also needed little bits and pieces like toothpaste. And actually, as we'd only gone up there for a fortnight, we hadn't taken a great deal of kit with us, clothing. So we had to try and purchase them, which was fortunate because the Americans had left and they'd left everything.
Where's this?
This in Michinar. The Americans had left everything. I mean everything. The stores, the clothing, their bakery. We had white bread up there, which was most unusual. Fresh bread. We couldn't get any money. But fortunately, we sent an MT driver up with us, actually, although we did have transport there. And he'd drawn his demob pay ready for going home, and he was the only one that had any money. So we pooled it all and bought our first month's booze ration, which... Well, there was myself, skipper, navigator, commissioner, the rest of NCOs, and we got a bottle of whiskey, half a bottle of gin, and a bottle of fortified wine. You could have had that if you wanted it, per month. We were able to buy our first month's booze ration, and very pittance, actually, and... We sold it to the Anglo-Indians working in town for about 300% profit, and that's how we managed to live financially till the July. So we eventually got out again. Another interesting point, whilst we were there, the monsoon obviously had started, and the river, which the Irrawaddy, which runs through Michinar, which is roughly about a mile wide there, it rose 18 foot overnight and completely flooded the whole area. We actually were lucky, another couple of foot and we should have been underwater, but we missed it. And sequel to that, we thought that nobody bothered with it because the nearest RAF station was a place called Qatar, which I forget how many hundred miles it was from us, and that closed while we were there, and we sort of felt as though we were completely isolated. And that was sort of the general thing. Well, the sequel to that was, after I came home, I was travelling from York to Northallerton, just after I left the service, and there was a flight stand in the carriage, and naturally we were talking about where you'd been and that, and he said he'd been at Mike Taylor. I said, oh, yes. Yes, he said, we followed a Halifax squadron in there. I said, yes, it was ours. Oh, that's interesting. He said, tell the interesting thing about that. He said, we heard reports of severe flooding up in North Burma, and we knew there was a detachment of the squadron up there, so we sent a mosquito up to see if they were okay, and he said he came back and couldn't get through, and they'd tried again, and he said he just couldn't get through. He said, I've often wondered what happened to those blokes up there. I said, well, I can tell you, because I was one of them. And that was a coincidence, absolute coincidence, that he should come into that. And from there, as I say, during the interim while we were at Michinar, the squadron moved from Digri to Red Brick Town, the other side of India. Oh, no, no, further in.
Ahmedabad?
No, 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 no. Really? Began with a B.
Bhopal? Baroda?
Baroda. That's right, moved to Baroda. So we eventually got back there, which, that was an interesting trip. We could have flown direct from Michener over the Arakan to Calcutta, but because of the aircraft wasn't in 100% condition, considering it had been standing out there for 3 months and had two very amateur engine changes done on it, we decided to go the long way down Burma to, I think we stopped at Pegu overnight, then flew from there to Calcutta. Well, we had Burmese rupees, and of course when you got to India they were not, you couldn't use them. So we had to do some money changing there, which was a great deal of trouble, because in the interim, while we'd been away, that the system of paying the officers was that up to then we'd been paid in India on a paybook system, but the change that our pay would then go into our bank account in the UK, and we had to arrange a transfer from our bank in UK to India. Well, of course, we came back into civilization more or less and didn't know anything about this, and went into a very irate accounts officer who refused to pay us any money, although we had stacks of credit on our cars. He said no, every station had been signalled, and if we hadn't taken out that necessary job, then we couldn't get any pay. So I thought, well, something's got to be done about this. And anyway, it happened the same CO was in Dum Dum as had been there when I had been stationed there, and I saw him, and he said, well, I'll have words with that gentleman. He said, go back, he said, he'll pay you. And he did. We did get some cash. And from there we went on eventually to Baroda. By this time we were a very motley looking crew. As I say, our uniforms were made up of a mixed bunch of ex-American stuff and ex-Army stuff, because we had to replace some of it. So you can imagine we were a bit of a motley looking crew. We got to Baroda, met by a welcoming party, and they had a long strip of red cotton, actually, from the door of the aircraft out, and it was a length of paper, I think it was, with a continuation of red carpet written on it. Because also in the interim, our squadron CO had changed. And I think that he, first of all, thought that the Michener detachment was something which was sort of in cloud cuckoo land, one of those paper. And we got quite a reception when we got there. And it lasted for 2 or 3 days, because I'd been away so long. And that was about the end of things, really. Hadn't been there very long before the squadron was again on the move to Moripur, Karachi. And then I left the squadron to come home for demob.
When would that be?
That was the August 46, I think it would be. I think I got back to UK about September. Again, September crops up again.
Did you see any disturbances whilst you were in India?
Yes, there were quite a few in Calcutta. Riots. I didn't actually see a great deal of it. Bombay also, there was some there. We just missed one rather nasty part. Then we just, sheer chance, we'd left it, and about half an hour later they set fire to a police station or something. And I was in a restaurant once in Bombay, and slung some stone and bricks at the window, which was being reinforced and didn't break. It had a mesh over it. But directly, no, I didn't come in contact with it, but I know it did go on to some extent when we're, I don't know what we're doing, we had some briefing to be done, and instead of, we were based at Alipur, which is an base, we just sort of flew in there as a stepping base. Oh, we're going down to Singapore, I forgot about that one. And we couldn't go across to Dum Dum by road because of the riots. we had to fly in from one side of Calcutta to the other. And we did a trip down to Singapore there. I forgot about that one. I started to bring back XPOWs, which we didn't do because the aircraft weren't US. And we're there about a good week, I think, every day hoping we should get off, but the aircraft still went US, and eventually we decided it was serviceable enough to fly back, but not serviceable enough to carry any POW, so we just came back empty.
Who did you think the disturbances were aimed at?
In Calcutta, in India. I never really knew it. It was just sort of one of those things that seemed to happen, and certainly not. I don't think the fire out were basically at the British or anything like that.
Were you getting impatient with for being demobbed?
No, not really. The thing that sort of decided me definitely, I was in half a mind to sign on, but A, I wanted to come home because I wanted I wanted to get married, start off, and we understood that the squadron was going to have to stay out in the Far East for a full sort of peacetime term, and with hindsight that didn't happen. They were home back in UK by December. Also, my last two flights were slightly hairy, and I thought I wasn't going to risk a third, so I decided that as my demob was within just a week or a fortnight away, or would have been, I decided that was it. And with hindsight, as I say, I would have stayed on.
How do you feel now about having served in the RAF?
Quite proud, and I feel a little bit sort of quiet about it, that I didn't do a great deal more, as much as so many of them had done. I suppose I was lucky, really. We never encountered any offensive fire in the short time I was operating. Nobody fired on us in anger, and we didn't do anything in anger in return, really. So, but yes, I feel quite proud about the RAF, and I'm still very keen on it.